Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wabbit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello, and welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast. I'm your host, LeZero, and I'm joined by, as almost always, Messi. How's it going?
Doing A-okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Do you know why I said almost always? Like, do you know what that's a reference to?
No,
I didn't. No, last week when I introduced Wabs, I said as always, and then I'm like, that's not really true now, is it? Like, there's a mixture every time. So, like, Can I say as always? Like, is that a thing? So there you go. I decided to be truthful this time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't be lying on the podcast. Come on.
You can't have that. I'm joined by Messi. We're going to kind of get into things right away because we for probably the first time in a while, have a couple of topics, right? That we'd like to get through, and I'm sure Messi, my man here, has a bunch of things he'd like to say. But before we get into that, we're gonna start off by thanking our patrons: Zoic22, Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Awesomeness, Digital Toast, Paint, Oak. Oh, I think I swallowed some phlegm there. Young Slug and PK. thank you all for your continued support. I feel like I've had like a problem with my throat over the last little bit, so extended singing and vowels just hurts. I don't know. I can't do their work.
You're hurting him.
Yeah,
I'm hurting. How dare you be a page?
Actually, you know what I should have done? I should have went a rock, like
a rock,
like just. A rock. Can you smell what the rock is cooking? Do all those jokes? Because the rock did come back
to pro wrestling. Can you smell what a rock is cooking?
For 1 week this week, so they would be actually really topical.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, he did some pro wrestling stuff. Okay, let's get into our range of topics that we have. The first one is, and you're telling me about this, Karmine Core did their own esport event and sold it like a venue?
Yeah, so they've done this event multiple times, and it's their third time doing it. So the event was K-Corp versus The World, where in five of their esports, they took their team and pitted them up against another team in that esport. So the games that were played were Valorant, League of Legends, Smash, and Rocket League. And I think the event's still ongoing. Someone can correct me on that, but at least Rocket League was played today from what I'm aware.
Look at that. And how did it go in Rocket League? Yeah.
So it was Karmine Corp versus G2. So G2 got flown out and Karmine Corp lost in their own event in game 7 overtime. So yeah, GG, NA on top. NA on top, baby.
G2 and which roster? So like was it last week that G2 had split up?
Yeah, so the roster, it's confirmed to be split up, but they still went to this as like their last event.
Lots of raw to win it all.
Yeah, same with the Karmine Corp roster. That roster is also breaking up, unfortunately. So both went entertaining matches. Couldn't watch them, but from what I heard, awesome. 30,000 people live in the venue. All the tickets sold out, and more than 130,000 viewers on Twitch. So the French know what they're doing when it comes to, especially Karmine Corp. They're probably the best org at like doing publicity, honestly, putting their name out there.
Do you think, because I think like one of the, like, what if I think of esports orgs that right away, like you think, okay, like they have good reach and like publicly, like a lot of people know, oh, this is an esports org, right? Like my go-to is probably like something like FaZe Clan, right? Where they just had so much streamers, right? And YouTubers and stuff like that, that everybody just knew about FaZe. But you're telling me like you think Karmine Corp's really, especially like in the Twitch space itself, like doing the best job. Is there anyone you could think of like compares to them or no?
At this point in time, no. I mean, especially in Rocket League, no.
No.
Right, but in other esports, there are probably some other orgs that can rival them. You know, your Team Liquids, your your phases. Honestly, FaZe and Rocket League don't really do too much, but I know FaZe and other esports, they do a lot more.
I just feel like FaZe, their notoriety outside of esports almost. Like,
yeah.
They're not even known for their esports. Almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg.
Well, I was just, yeah. I just feel like for a while they're just part of every YouTube drama. You know what I mean? So, like, that's how I learn about FaZe Clan.
You get your FaZe news by hearing them pop up in news outlets. That's how you hear about FaZe.
There it is. And that's why they phase through the ether. I don't know. That was bad. So there's that event that happened. I just think it's cool that they were able to garner so many people watching. And the cool thing about an event like that is if someone's a fan of Karmic Core from a different esport, right? They might be able to like, oh, they're checking out this game. They might also play and then kind of get into it, right? So I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, any other kind of things from that event, any drama from that event other than the two orgs dropping, or is that really it?
No, that's really about it. Just an entertaining match. It delivered, and well, good luck to all those players wherever they go. Atira, yeah, having the rebuild around him, staying on Karmine, and then Chicago saying farewell to JNAPS and Atomic. So
there you go. All right, do you want to, like, you know, speaking of which, we can probably get right into that. What's your kind of take on kind of the roster mania that's happened in the last little bit? We did cover it a little bit last week, but I'd like to get your takes, and then maybe has there been any more things in the last week? Has there been more things that have happened in roster mania?
There's always
things that happen. Well, it's gonna be a very long roster mania feel, right? So
oh yeah,
there'll be plenty of time. Too much. Yes, give me your takes, and I'm going to look through and see if there's any transfers that I'd like to mention here on top of whatever you mentioned. Go.
So, one that I find, honestly, I feel like it's going to shake up OCE a lot, is since Hunter is no longer on Pioneers, and Amphis, who's arguably one of the best players in OCE right now, they're both free agents, so I'm thinking they might team up, maybe. It might happen, it might not. I'd like to see it though, because Hunter, you know, young prospect, everything. Amphis been around for a minute now. They just had his first Worlds. They pick up like a solid third that they could find, like that could be a team. Yeah, that could be a really solid team. Then Koi dropping their roster.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is new from last week here. Koi dropping their rosters. So, man. Good old Gyro.
Gyro, Sosa, and Cheese.
Cheese. There you go.
I mean, that team had extremely low lows, but they had like pretty decent highs.
That's true. They're popping that up. Yeah.
Yeah, they had like some upsets here and there. They weren't as frequent as we would have liked, though. But when they happened, we were like, oh my God. Especially when they beat V1 in the regional, in the upper bracket, and knocked them all the way down. I'm like, all right, let him cook. But yeah, unfortunately, Koi back out of Rocket League again. The roster goes with it. So.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Like, I want to get your take kind of on all the org shifts in a second, but there's one more thing that I want to mention from this past week. So it was T. Corral, of course. No, Joe was leaving Oxygen, right? Becoming inactive. There it is. So it just feels like in the last, what, 2-3 weeks? Like, there's just been, it seems like every... Well, I was talking about Wabs, right, last week, and we were talking about that it just almost feels like every org... is kind of leaving, but there's also a question of like, did everyone just have contracts? Like, it almost felt like for whatever reason every org had contracts to the end of these worlds. And our hypothesis, and I want to get your take on this, right, is that without like new information kind of coming in as to what's next and a rumored like longer break, right, or is it confirmed? I don't remember at this point if it's been like officially confirmed or they're just not saying anything at all. But it just seems like a lot of orgs just like are not gonna didn't re-sign contracts. Essentially, if a lot of players' contracts ended, or even if they're in contract, like it almost seems like some orgs are just like, yeah, you can go try to find a team. So,
yeah,
what's your kind of take on all this?
I mean, considering this break is longer, and there wasn't. I don't think it was really foreseen to be as long That's why their contracts ended like that. So some orgs that are letting them like explore options and everything and like still keeping them technically on the org, you know, I like that. I like when they do that, but it's also, it's good for the orgs and the players, you know, I think having this extended break, because they're going to be like a whole rebuild for almost every region. Going to be so many players shuffling. They have more time to like try to see who they can mesh well with, right? See who they want, you know, instead of just being like, all right, you got a couple weeks, go figure it out. So now
that's
they,
true. I guess, yeah. I guess like it, though, my only like the cynical part of me thinks like if there's an org that still wants to stay in the space, right? Like what's what? Like some part of me feels like maybe they're like, okay, these contracts are done and we don't mind staying in the space, but like we're going to get some new up and coming players and have them sign a contract that's like so significantly less, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if they're really good, like a really good up and coming team, they might be like, okay, well, these guys are probably going to be really good. And it's tough too with Rocket League as well, because every time someone's just about to be on top, like they end up on top, like they end up being the best team for the next 6 months, and then they get added to the pool of like everybody. I don't know if that makes sense, but it sometimes feels like if you can catch that team kind of come on their up, especially with younger players, I'm sure you could sign them to a contract that's probably not what they're worth, but they're just happy to get paid, right?
Yeah, it's just there's so much happening. It's so hard to keep up, right? And especially like for the orgs, for the players, everything shuffling. Like, man, it must hurt their brains more than it hurts like ours from the outside perspective. Because I couldn't imagine like how much more stuff that we don't know about is actually happening behind the scenes, right?
And as I feel like there is, right? Like I don't think it's actually dark. Like because our or my general like thought was like maybe orgs don't know anything, and if they don't know anything, they're like, well, we're just not going to re-sign any contracts, right? Like if you don't know what the future is looking like, yeah. I wonder if that's the case, or if they know something, right? Like a quote unquote franchising or something like that, right, is coming up, or they don't like it. Like maybe some orgs have heard of what's on the horizon. They're like, no, we're good. I don't know. It's all speculation from my head.
Yeah, truly, all it is just speculation. The stuff that the players themselves confirm are like really the only thing we can truly go off of, you know, because rumors are going to be rumors until they're confirmed to be fact.
And what's confirmed, Messi? What's actually been confirmed? That's the question.
It's actually been confirmed. Well, Kami from Elevate retired.
Well, we talked about Kami last week.
Talked about
Kami? Bit.
Yeah, so Kami retired.
Do you have thoughts on that whole situation? Have you ever been catfish, Messi? Are you a catfish? Are you even Messi? Are you actually cursed in disguise?
I swim in muddy water, so yes, I am a catfish. Anyway, but
you have whiskers.
Yeah, I have whiskers. Yeah, but a lot of people see this retirement as like more of a emotional distress retirement, you know, because that must have affected him a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, yeah. But then again, I feel like he still has it in him to keep playing, right? But if he needs to do like temporary retirement, then come back, then like he's more than welcome to do that, because like he's gonna go down forever in OC history, because he's part of that OG roster in season 6 that made top 4, which is the only top 4 OC has ever gotten. So I'm hoping the best for him. I hope he comes back. I really do, because he's still a great player. He's still got it, but he's got to take time for himself. Yeah. I think that's what's happening right now.
That's fair. If you were... So I kind of want to get your take on this, right? If you were a player without an org right now, right? What would kind of be your next move kind of in this situation? Because you're kind of uncertain. You don't know which orgs. Like, do you just take the first offer that's actually willing to pay you money? Or are you kind of actually going to wait as well until there's bigger announcements? Or do you know what's going on behind? Like, I think in my mind, I want to just think of it like the general situation where Rocket League is in right now when it comes to kind of this information is like, I don't know how many people like actually know the future, right? Like, is it a bigger group of players, or is it just like the devs and maybe some org leads, right? Like some team managers. I don't know what you think, Messi. Do you know anything, Messi?
No.
If you're a betting man.
Nah. I do not know that much. I know about as much as everybody else knows right now. But with the information we have, there's so many possibilities. So many. Garrett on Shopify is an option, you know. Justin teaming up with... Because, honestly, that NRG roster, anybody would be happy to take any of those players, right? Anybody would. And then Chicago being a free agent, Chicago being a veteran now for a long time. It's too many players, man. Especially, like, even in Sam, like, Brad leaving Crew, that's a pretty big one. Because Crew have been on the rise, on the come up, seeing one of their players drop.
Yeah, it's. I think it's very volatile. I think that's fair. I mean, we'll keep speculating, I'm sure, until the sky turns red or something. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with the analogy, but I think the point stands. I think regardless, it's kind of uncertain where we're at with particularly where the scene is heading. But there is the one thing that is certain, and it's the fact that, like, despite anything we've said about the game or not said about the game, the actual world championship, and I'm going to quote here Rod Breslow, aka Slasher, on the X. I think that's what they should call it. It's not X, it's the X, okay? That's officially how I'm going to turn it, because I'm, you know, from 2005, and I think it's funny. But we're in Halo esports here. Rod essentially just tweeted out that Rocket League today, so that was on the day of the World Championship, not only set a new record for peak viewership 8 years after release, but it surpassed all-time viewership of games such as Overwatch and COD 2. Another weekend where, while esports may be in financial crisis, fandom keeps growing and the passion is electric. I think this is one of those things where, like, what is the barometer of being the most successful esport? And I think it is your World Championship, right?
I mean, it can be debated, because I feel like other esports, like, we'll look at, like, for, like, people in the Rocket League scene like to compare our big events to other esports, but other esports are garnering so much viewership for, like, a qualifier for a qualifier, you know?
So it's more,
like, the scale of it, right? Because we'll be like, oh, look at that, we have 150,000 viewers and Valorant has 70,000. But our 150,000 are for a major, and there's 70,000 is for a qualifier to, like, a region or something. And you're like, oh, okay.
What's so? Yeah, I think that's probably true, right? Like, I think one of the biggest fears for Rocket League specifically is the fact that our regional tournaments and our majors, right? Those tournaments don't necessarily garner the viewership that you'd want, right? To be healthy throughout the whole year, right? If our overall viewership in the world's, like, that's a really good sign, let me put it that way. But I guess you're right, that to think that, like, that we're a healthy esport, or an esport that the people who are watching it are active, right, engaged, that you might want to be looking at, you know, the weekly regional, right? But I think this is where a little bit Rocket League shot itself in the foot with RLCS X, right? Like, I think that took a lot out of people when it comes to regular Rocket League viewership, because there was a tournament every week, and then there was the grid during the week. And I understand it was during the pandemic, but I think
the fact that the grid points actually mattered towards what was happening on the weekends too. It was way too much.
It's like I understand that there is some diehard that was like, yes. Let me just watch every day, all day, every day.
But how many of, like, the viewers are actually, like, diehards? Maybe like 1,000?
The point is, I think anyone who was meant to be, like, a somewhat casual fan became a super casual fan because of it.
Yeah.
Like, someone who has just wanted to fall. Like, and I think, like, even Combo had, like, countless times talk about that, right? Where before, the one thing you really liked about the league format, like, way back in the day, was the fact that you could just have one team you're following, right? So it never felt overwhelming. You could choose to watch all the matches on the weekends, or you could just watch your one team, right? And there isn't really that option, because if your team, like, doesn't make it to, we'll say, like, doesn't make it through, like, Friday, right? like your team might be out by, like, Saturday midday for a lot of these tournaments, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know,
yeah, your team might be out,
or there are weird times, you know what I mean? Like, because all these games are happening at the same time, like you'd have to like wake up at 8 a.m. or something to watch them. You're like, I'm not necessarily doing that, right? It's almost, I don't know if this is probably true, actually. Is like, I think people who are Rocket League fans right now just enjoy Rocket League regardless of the teams they're playing. I don't think we have team-specific fans, and I don't think that's a good thing, right? Like, I think it'd be better to have a couple team-specific fans, even if that would drop viewership from time to time, but I think they'd be more likely to stick around and just follow that team and make sure they're doing really well.
Like Carbon Corp, like, they always have their own section at every event.
Yeah, WABs. just 1,000 WABs. Event.
Yeah. And then when they lose, they just sit there and they're like, oh.
Yeah, okay. But I think that's a good thing, right? Like I think that's where you get those more diehard fans, the people who actually have a team that they cheer for. Because we talked about this as well with some of like the newcomers to our community in the last couple of months. That one of the tough things about getting into the esport is that like we'll mention all these names, right? And we're making like this assumption that a lot of our listeners know or don't know them, right? But like if you haven't been watching for a while, you're like, okay, let me just choose a team to get into, right? And then maybe you'll watch one tournament and then one team does really, really well, and then guess what, next tournament they don't make it, right? And then you're like, well, the thing that was tethering me, like keeping me right connected to this, like I no longer have that, right? I don't know if that makes sense to you. They're messy. Yeah,
that makes sense too. It's just we need to have more diehard fans. I'd rather we have like 75% of the current viewership we have, but with more diehard fans. Cause
so like if we had a little less in Worlds, but like all the tournaments had like much healthier viewership, you think that'd be better?
I feel like it'd be better, yeah. Just because you had more people watching, like it's actually following it, instead of being someone who's like, oh, World Championship, all right, let's just watch that. But if we know what happens, like coming up to it, you have more context and you can enjoy the World Championship even more knowing what went down throughout the whole year.
That's true. Like you care more about the stories if you know the interpersonal things that are happening, but also the inter-team things. I think that actually builds like someone watching, if you're just watching the Rocket League game for the Rocket League game, right? Then it's only as exciting as the game itself, but all the background stories and the context really add to it, right? And make you more invested and enjoy it more. Like, so I think that's totally fair.
Like, for example, I'll just throw this match as an example. The first ever best seven reverse sweep on land that happened using Falcons and Twisted. The regular viewer who just watched Worlds is probably like, wow, that's crazy. But if you know what went down throughout the season and what like their head-to-head was, like, it's much more impressive. Much more. Because Twisted, that was their first event. And they make it when they like were so close to making a perfect run in wild card, and then Falcons just brought them back down to earth, you know? It's just storylines are awesome.
No, I think that's totally fair. My point behind all this is I think it's good that we have high viewership, but I think you're totally right. I think that's where we'll kind of see more of that. And I don't know if that's a formatting thing, right? Like, I don't know if this is like a longer off season, like I don't know if Rocket League would want to do like kind of brand the top teams and like push out like these kind of docuseries or something like that, right? To really get someone who has never watched Rocket League, like a preseason docuseries on a bunch of like top teams and top players, or even like some history of like what's been going on in the last couple of years. Because I think stuff like that would probably give an entry point into a new season for a new fan, right? Someone who plays Rocket League but doesn't follow any esports. Like, it'd be nice to have stuff like that, I think, like almost like co-content, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what's one thing that I appreciate about, like, I'll use Fortnite, right? It's like, within the game itself, they'll like advertise and be like, yo, like, look, you can watch our esport within the game.
Oh, is that not possible in Rocket League still? You still don't have an in client browser?
No.
Because they have the like esports warning, but like what it really should be, and I mean, it should be like the Twitch stream, not playing, because I think that would get you into hot trouble, but like the Twitch stream, like literally pretty much open in your browser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were able to watch the RLCS World Championship in a Fortnite creative map this past event. So I mean, even they're trying to help us out, you know.
Yeah. I was also gonna add that, well, because one of the big things is like people are talking about like where is Rocket League place at this point, right? And I think Rocket League actually has gone up in the last, maybe not as much as they'd like since free to play, but I would probably argue like esports wise, like we've, last year was a really good year for us relatively to all the previous years. And this current world championship that just happened, I think this was a good year, right? So where do you think kind of Rocket League ranks now among the big hitters? Actually, your opinion, although I don't know, we're gonna go off our top of our head. We're not going to look into the stats necessarily, but like, what would you consider the top?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Esports right now before Rocket League.
League, 100%.
League, probably 100%.
The top esport in the world.
That won't change, about it. I don't think. Yeah.
No. CSGO.
CSGO, yep.
Valorant,
yep.
I believe Fortnite is still above Rocket League.
Fortnite is like the kid that you've never seen before and just like makes it there because he's the rich kid, right? that's kind of what he feels like. You got special privileges.
You gotta think, right? The first place winner in the first ever Fortnite World Cup won the same amount of money as the entire Rocket League World Championship had as their budget, you know, for their World Championship. So
that's true.
And that
to
was a couple
fair,
years ago. So
I think it's also one of those things where the company can just like the amount of money that your company is making can justify the prize pool, right?
Yeah.
Especially for that first big tournament. And that's how you
Dota
get people
2,
hyped, right?
Also
Dota 2. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Dota 2.
Yeah.
And that might be like, I guess COD right now had a resurgence, right? Yeah. So a couple of those games, I don't know what Overwatch is doing these days.
Rainbow Six at one point was above, but I don't think so.
Okay. Side note: Rainbow Six has a weird staying power. Like it just. Sorry, the other day, like literally, like in where I work, like the students I teach, like they were talking about Rainbow Six, and I'm like, I feel like this game doesn't go away. Like I don't watch it, I don't follow it at all. But there's something about it that like. I think because it's so specialized or the feeling of it is so unique to like that kind of FPS genre, right? I just think people who play other FPS games like go back to it because of like it's kind of very complex almost appeal, if that makes sense. Like it's very unique within the whole genre. So I just thought I'd mention that. I don't know if how many people watch Apex. I know Apex is very popular, like player-wise. I don't know how many people watch Apex. Apex might be another one.
I think I'd say Apex is above Rocket League at this point. Yeah.
And then Rocket League, right? I think we mentioned everyone we could, right?
Yeah.
So like clear top 10, I think is a fair say, right? I don't think that's an unfair thing to say.
Top 10, yes. Tier 1, no.
No. Oh, I'm going to have to change my title.
Yeah.
Messi hates Rocket League.
Yeah, I definitely think they're up there, like, maybe top 10, top... I'll put them a safe top 15, Rocket League.
Top 15? Well, but that's the point. It's like, I can't find other games that I think would... I mean, and we're talking esports. We're not talking about, like, video game popularity, right? We're talking esports specifically, right? But... I think you can put them like somewhere 8, 9, 10, right? I think that is a fair... I think you could argue that. 10 especially. Like, I don't know if I can find a tenth game that would beat them out. I think I would put them there. But I guess you're right. Like, what... And would it be that health? Or for Rocket League to be a tier 1, you're like, oh no, we need like a million viewers every event or something.
No. Like going back to what I mentioned earlier, it's just more consistent viewership in the lead ups to the big events.
Mm-hmm.
Have more interaction for the small stuff, you know, not just worrying about the big stuff. Having bigger orgs join You know, we already have pretty big orgs, but have more of them, you know? Have mm-hmm. them procure rosters that will prevail for a long time. I'm so sad to say, like how NRG was, right? For a long time. Mm-hmm. They were at the top for NA the longest time. Like, since season 3, all the way up to, like, the beginning of 21-22. Then after that, they had their fall off, right? Like, have teams like that, that can stay strong for a long time with different iterations of rosters, no matter what happens. That way, the org is cemented into the esport itself, right?
Is that the biggest thing holding us back? Is the lack of the cementing of these teams? Because we are the esport that, like, rotates more than any other esport, right?
Yeah, because like, that's what I like. Because that's the one thing I'll give League Play. I'm not a big fan of League Play, right? But mm-hmm. League Play had that, right? It was like, all right, for half a year, you can't change your roster. You cannot. And there's like, you don't have a different team in every regional, right? Because the league play is like set, right? It's like, all right, 10 teams, go at it. And then maybe a couple of changes, right? Because RLRS promotions and RCSD motions, which happened some seasons didn't even happen at all. So it was like, you had those teams, you're like, all right, these teams are set, they're staying. All right, see how they do throughout the year, you know, throughout the two worlds that happen every year. But now,
I think regardless of league play, I think there's definitely an argument in Rocket League for actually franchising, right? Because
there's an argument for it, but a lot of people I've said that like franchising would like probably kill Rocket League at the point that it is now.
So it's this weird conundrum where I don't know how to make the teams not change so much to create more consistency in the esport and so that people can be fans for a long time and have their favorite players around for a long time. I don't know how to create that, but also not completely destroy what's kind of grassroots built over the last couple of years, right?
Matt, because you had people like Ryze who were on a different team every split. Every single split, Ryze is like, all right, we'll take this team to the major. We'll leave. We'll take this other team to the major. I'll leave. I'll take this team to the major and then to Worlds and losing in the final.
It just keeps going.
Yeah. So much. It's too much.
It's too much. Do you have an idea like that we could actually do? Or is it like do damned if you do, damned if you don't a little bit for us?
Yeah. It's at a point where it's like, all right, if you franchise now.
You alienate all the up and coming teams, right? So
and
like that's
the whole
really
point of switching to the format we have now is to allow anyone and anybody to make RLCS. But
and I think it's so funny because I think the problem, I don't know if it's inherent to the game itself, but it's like in other esports we don't have this problem because the turnover is quick, but it's not this quick. Like, you know what I mean? Like you can still have a valuable player 5 years later, right? In other esports, in a lot of other esports. Maybe they're not like the top, but like someone who was at the top can still be playing competitively 5 years later in a major org. And it just seems like in Rocket League, like that's not the case. There's just a million 16-year-olds that are ready to play. It's like we have a pyramid that's like very wide at the bottom. We have a lot of new players, younger players coming in. But so much so they just push out all the players at the top and people retire because they can't keep up with the amount of practice. And like obviously the players on the bottom are building on the players on the top. And so while this in itself for the game itself is really healthy, right? It makes the esports a lot harder to grow. Which is interesting, right? Like I don't think like looking, because I think it's really important to look at Rocket League, like Rocket League growth from a game perspective and Rocket League growth from an esport perspective, I think are two very different things. And in other esports, they might be more related to each other.
Mm-hmm. It's like going back to what you said about like players who have been around for a long time that like were the best at one point and now are like kind of more like on a really good team, but like not like the star. Like Alpha 54 is probably that guy right now. He's probably that guy, but that's like the only person I could think of right now, in all honesty. Like they're probably the only person because they just won Worlds, and before that they had never won an event, but at one point in time they were one of the best players in the world, and they still are realistically, but they're not the best, you know. But he's always just been up there. Even going to like 13 through 16 with Kate up and Fairy, he was still up there.
And so with all this, I think this bounces perfectly into our next topic. All right. This is a post by Flux here. It's from a tweet from Esports Foundry. Did you know these games were last year's most popular esports offerings among top collegiate programs? And it had Rocket League at the very top. I don't understand what these percents mean in this particular thing. But I guess it means that among esports. Okay, so this is my best guess about what this means. Among universities that offer esports, right? Like related, I don't know if it's like a program, collegiate program itself, or just a team or a club or whatever. Rocket League, 87.4% of them offered it. League of Legends, 81%. Valorant, 79%. Overwatch, 78%. Super Smash Bros., 68.5%. And then Call of Duty, 43%. So it kind of starts dropping after that. So Rocket League was the most offered, I guess, program among collegiate esports. And then Flux under this wrote, biggest esport offered by most schools compared to others, graduating young adults with money, which will equal graduating young adults with money to dump into the game, which equals more epic money to grow RL easy. And I think that's true. I think Rocket League has been exposed to like that age group a lot. My only concern is that it's not the main game, right? Like if you want an esport, I think people only got one esport in them. You know what I mean?
Only like, one.
I don't think you can play any games you want, right? I think you can play a variety of games. But to follow actively players and careers and storylines in esport, I think there's only one game you choose. And I think the tough thing that Rocket League is having from the transition from like, oh, everyone knows about us and all universities offer offer like Rocket League there because one, it's one of the only non-violent we have demos, so oh boy.
Yeah.
But the only non-violent, right, like game among a lot of them, which makes it really like palatable, right? It makes it really easy for universities and parents and everyone to get on board because they're like, oh, cars hitting soccer balls and flying through there, but hitting soccer balls, car soccer, right? Really easy to sell, right? So the only big thing is that gap from going, okay, yes, these people are interested in this game and it's offered in all these universities. So hopefully someone's just in university and they're having fun and then they offer this, right? There's a better chance that people choose it. The tough thing is making it their only game, right? Whether it's the only game they play or it's the only game they watch, like that's the tougher transition. So even if they have money to dump into it, it needs to also be the game that other games don't take the place of it, right? So,
yeah, like you said, it's just the easiest to appeal to the masses. And it's also an esport where like even like middle school and high school programs, like they'll offer that because they're like, oh, look at that, a car, a ball, go.
Honestly, it's so easy to sell, right? Like CSGO is a little harder to sell, right? Like
it's like, all right, you got to plant this. They have multiple people doing that, doing this, another thing. And Rocket League say, wow, the ball is going into the
also,
goal.
Also the parents, like 14-year-olds with guns, playing video games, violent games, and then you have that whole narrative, right?
Violent video games corrupt my children. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, based on that premise, right, it means that it's... I think Rocket League has that status of being able to appeal to a larger audience, but we're having trouble with that hardcore, right? And the tough thing about the hardcore is that what other games have is like when they are limited in maybe not being able to appeal to as wide of an audience, right? The niches that they find last longer and are stronger and allow it to get to that tier one, right? Where, you know, people, I imagine the million people watching CSGO are not the same million watching Dota, right? Despite maybe the Valve overlap there. Is that right? I still imagine the viewer base, and I'd probably argue where the countries where they are watching that game from are vastly different and the same, but vastly like different enough to have these like very, very healthy audiences, right? So I guess we've posed a lot of like, I think in this episode we've kind of talked a lot about both Rocket League's strengths, but also like counteracting like why it's kind of getting us to a point but not letting us grow any further, right? Like, we might have an easier way to getting to the point that we've been at now than other games might have, right? Like, our potential to get to now was probably there that some other games don't have, but it's that next step I think that we're having trouble with.
Yeah. That next level, we're not there
no
yet.
No solutions, Messi? No. I think Messi became the greatest esports Rocket League player of all time. I think that really bring us to tier one.
Yeah. Your team Liquid sign me real quick.
Real quick, yeah. Okay. Any other kind of thoughts on that? Do you have no ideas? How about this? I know I usually do this at the end of the show, but we'll throw the question in here. You know how I usually give homework?
Yeah.
Homework so is to give concrete ideas on how we can actually grow. So my contribution is like the docuseries and providing context in preseason to give a starting point for a lot of people. But if there are other ideas, or if you want to debate franchising or like what would probably model would work, then feel free to throw it in the general chat and we'll discuss it in the Discord. Actually, on this point, I just had a thought and I'd like to get your take on it, Messi. Overwatch tried and desperately failed to regionalize esports, and I think the greatest thing about it was like the attempt to like make every team kind of related to a specific city, right? And I like that a lot because that's kind of taken from traditional model sports. Is there a world where like Rocket League could do that? Because we have that country a little bit, right? We definitely have country localization and like continental localization, right? NA versus EU, and then. But like city wise, would that ever be a thing? Because like KCP kind of does that, right? In theory, but would that you think work for Rocket League or no?
I don't think so. No, because we don't really have like a certain like location that we can tie Rocket League to.
That's true. You need like local venues in every. It'd have to be like eight. It'd have to be like the beginning of the NHL or something, right? Like eight cities that have like. Esports stadiums and they constantly travel to each other and play games, and you do like if an esport wanted to do, and like it's kind of tough because like the argument is like, okay, it's an esport, so it's online, so like we can save on all the money to not host every game in a venue, right, and just play it online, right? Like that's or let's just all fly out to one place in a tournament, and that's a lot easier to organize, right? But I wonder if there's an esport that could grassroots itself into literally doing like, oh no, we travel for every like home and away games and like use the traditional model and try to like force it into esports. I wonder if that would ever work. I don't know.
I don't think it'll work, honestly. Like, especially how far we are into the esport, integrating like new things becomes increasingly difficult.
yeah, that's right. Even if you come up with a solution, yeah, try to now force it, right? And not face backlash, but
yeah,
because anyway, there's always going to be backlash. But it's just you gotta play your cards right when it comes to situations like these. It's like, are you willing to risk the potential death of the esport, you know, for like a change, you know, so stuff like that.
And as long as our world's viewership is growing, I don't think there's the point of taking that risk. But perhaps there's like a day where you like if we see like a yearly decline, right, slowly of viewership. That might be the point where it's like, well, we might as well try this, right? Because if you see that slowing down, then you're like, okay, well, we might as well try something because otherwise we're just going to die a slow and cruel death. In the wise words, because you said you have to know how to play it, right? You got to know when to hold them. All right. Know when to hold them. Sorry, I thought I just threw that in there. There you go. All right. Well, luckily for me, I can spout all this on my podcast and not be employed by Psyonix or Epic Games. So the employers in those can listen to anything I've said or just be like, oh, you're offering all these things you could do better, but like, how would you do better? And I'm like, I give no concrete solutions. I just talk on a podcast. So, you know, hire me, I guess, if you want me to give you concrete solutions, because then I'd actually know the things that are in the plans and the works, and then see if we can integrate them esports better. But yeah, crazy. Yeah. 8 years, man.
It's a long time, man.
I think for all the criticism that we may have mentioned on this podcast, I think that's a good thing to like think about. I think that's a successful esport or video game just in general to still have so many people playing 8 years in. There's not a lot, you know. So there you go. Yeah.
Rocket League's biggest strength is that there's nothing like it. That's
true. Do you remember that roller skate game that had like the three hoops? That was like a thing for a bit. That was trying to be physics based.
Yeah.
Not Lucio Ball,
point,
but like
point
some
proven right there. We don't remember.
I don't.
We don't. Point proven. It's just nothing's like Rocket League. If you think of it, we have like the cheap mobile ad knockoffs that you see once in a while pop
Sideswipe.
Up. Like,
oh. You mean Sprocket League? Is that what we're talking about?
We mean Rocket League, but on mobile, you know.
Oh.
What?
And it's not a car racing game, right? And I think another thing, okay, so this is another thing. Like, people talk about the mods and stuff, and I don't think it makes a difference. Like, I know it's talked to death about, like, mod integration and about, like, all these different game modes and stuff, but I think, like, still 80% of players, like them sticking around, is still playing the main game. Like, I think your main game has to be the core. I don't know, I just got frustrated sometimes where they're like, oh, all these new game modes, all these new things, and it's like, yeah, but if I'm going back to this game as like a comfort game after I'm tired from work, like I don't necessarily want to be experiencing novel things. I want to go into like a loop that I enjoy, right? To like game loop that I enjoy. I don't know. I think you can add a bunch of new features and then like have only 5% of players use it, and then you're like, well, this didn't make a difference, right?
Man,
I guess right, that's my now, point.
Like, not even the esport, but just the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's really relying on like people who make maps and stuff like that, right? It's like,
you think so? You mean for new maps, like the
like
actual in-game maps?
Just for like new content for the game. But
I guess I think the one thing I struggle with is sometimes like when I hear this argument in the Rocket League scene is that I don't know if adding all these new additional features would actually make a dent or an increase in people playing the game. Like, you can make the greatest like side maps, or you can have the newest content, and like every time new content comes around, I'm like, people are going to keep playing because they enjoy playing the game or like playing ranked or what have you, they play with friends. But I don't think like any of these new things like ever actually would get someone to play it new, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like if Rocket League themselves were like to like promote something and like do like great good publicity on it, right, that was new and actually interesting to the player base, like it would actually gain traction. People would be like, wow, it's a carball game, but you can do other stuff in it besides play carball. Like, wow. But right now,
maybe it'd have to be like one thing. Like, maybe it'd have to be, I mean, I've joked about a Rocket League campaign, but like maybe that's what it has to be. Maybe it has to be this giant separate game mode, but I think it has to be one thing, like one big thing, because like just an extra game mode like Spike Rush or what have you was really cool, and then it goes away and then comes back and then you like play it a bit. But I don't know, it's tough being a dev, I guess that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah, like shout out to the Psyonix devs, like we know they're trying, especially with moving the entire game to UE5 as we speak.
Unconfirmed.
No, confirmed.
Oh, it hasn't been confirmed?
It was confirmed 2 years ago. So we know it's happening.
Oh, right,
we just
right.
Don't
right
know
it's,
when
okay,
it's
okay. Yes, we did confirm 2 years ago. I suppose it hasn't been confirmed that it's this year or right now or what have you.
They haven't told us anything about when it's coming out. That's the only thing we're in the dark about. But shout out to them. They're trying their best. And
Pause. You just made me think of the dumbest idea. You ready? You ready for it?
Yeah.
So the reason all the esports orgs are leaving, okay, is because there won't be RLCS for a year. They're going to take a year and a half, and they're going to release UE5, and they're going to start esports up from scratch. Maybe that's it. I cracked the code. All right,
I like that idea. I like that idea. I back it.
No, but you'd be so mad not being able to watch. Or would you be really enthused to come back, though?
Thing is,
it'd be funny because it'd be, it's both a super risky play. I mean, I think it'd pay off no matter what, because people who enjoy Rocket League would play it for the year, and it would kind of dwindle a little bit. But then, like, as the hype grew, like, they could just re-bring it back, right? And I think it'd be really fresh, and it'd be another attempt to start it. And I think that's cool, because, free-to-play was one of those big things, and, like, this could be another big event, and you can see where it goes from there. The only problem is like, well, I wonder if they just go, like, hey, look, like, organizers, DreamHack, whatever, you guys do tournaments for your, and we're just going to restructure, rebrand, get RLCS, like, actually spend a year and a half preparing it, making it top tier, and then we reintroduce. Just hopefully you don't lose all your player base before that.
Yeah, but that's the thing that they're not wanting to risk right now, is losing everybody. So
do you think if there's no esport, people will stop playing the game?
Probably
not, because, like, I still think, like, what is it, like, let's just say that 100,000 people log in a day, right? Or in a month, we'll say in a month. Okay, out of those 100,000, or wait, I imagine a small fraction of them actually watch the esport on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So if it's a game they enjoy, they'll play regardless.
Yeah.
I play FIFA regardless of whether or not there's tournaments happening in FIFA. So
But I don't watch international competition. It's like,
yeah exactly. So, yeah. And I'm sure Call of Duty players do that too. And so I guess that's a little bit of leeway they have. All right, this is pretty cool. This is a very cool discussion. Any final thoughts here, Messi, on all the things that we've spoken of today? This is your chance.
Final thoughts is that Liquid should still sign me. Those are my final thoughts right there.
That's it. All right. We already gave you your homework, so tell us what you thought of this podcast, all the kind of ideas that we spun around. I think we managed to pull out a pretty decent show here, get some fresh ideas going, or rekindle some of these other ideas that kind of, I'm sure, circulate throughout the Rocket League scene. Messi, you ready to head out?
I'm hungry. We gotta go.
All right, we gotta go. Messi said it. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed. We'll see you next time.
Peace. Malik.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.